Are you lonely? There could soon be a pill for that. Researchers at the University of Chicago Bryan Dynamics Lab may be on the verge of developing a drug to combat chronic loneliness and social isolation. There's a practical reason to solve loneliness. The health ramifications are real. Loneliness has been shown to weaken a person's immune system. Those in their 20s, 50s, and 80s are most susceptible to loneliness. According to a study by the University of California, San Diego Medical School, those times in life where people are going through big transitions, like going away to college or the decline in friends and family as you grow older, we wanted to learn more about loneliness and how a pill could help solve it. To break this all down, we have with us Julian Holt Lundstad. She's a professor of psychology and neuroscience at Brigham Young University in Utah. Professor Holt Lundstad, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so this lonely pill, as it's called, it's made up of a naturally occurring hormone produced in the adrenal gland. And researchers behind the lonely pill say that their goal is to not only stop loneliness, but to regulate the way it affects the mind and the body. I'd like to know from you, what are your thoughts on this idea? Do you feel like loneliness requires a medical intervention like this?
Well, I think like most people, when I very first heard about it, there was a little bit of skepticism because I think we don't necessarily associate our relationships with something that a pill could fix. But yet perceptions of loneliness are something that may be related to biological signals.
Oh, explain what you mean by that.
Yeah. So most scientists agree that humans are social species. Much like other animals, it's more adaptive to be in groups and adapted to survival, that similarly humans are social species. In fact, the late John Cacioppo argued that loneliness is much like hunger or thirst, whereas hunger and thirst are biological motives that motivate us to seek out food or water, that loneliness motivates us to reconnect socially. And so in that sense, loneliness is something that is adaptive and something that we actually wouldn't really want to get rid of because it helps us to reconnect.
Okay.
The problem, however, is when we experience loneliness chronically. And that's where I think many of the negative health effects can occur and where we need to really focus our intervention efforts.
Ah, okay. So I see what you're saying. You're saying that loneliness, like hunger, can be a signal. Okay, you're hungry, you know to go eat. If you're lonely, you know to be in a social situation so you can quell that loneliness. But in some people, they may be chronically lonely and not going out to get that stimuli from other folks. And so this pill might offer a solution for them to be able to step outside of themselves and do that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And so in some cases, providing more opportunities for those social connections may be the best option. Mm-hmm. But for others, despite being around others, may still feel profoundly lonely. Mm-hmm. And so if we think of loneliness as almost like a social barometer, in some instances, that may be off. It may need to be recalibrated. And in those instances, perhaps a solution such as the one they are suggesting may be appropriate. But in other circumstances, other kinds of approaches may be more appropriate.
I guess this goes back to what you were saying about all of us at some point feel that it's a natural thing that happens. But this chronic loneliness, do you feel like we're seeing more of this in society, and what might be the reasons for that?
Well, it's difficult to know whether it's actually increasing or if we're simply more aware of it. But there is some evidence also to suggest that perhaps people are becoming more disconnected. Now, if we think about loneliness specifically, that is perhaps less routinely collected on a national level. So it's hard to know whether it's actually, increasing or not. But we do have evidence that in terms of demographic trends, that we have more people living alone than ever before. Fewer people are getting married. Fewer people are having children. So there is some evidence to suggest that people are becoming more socially disconnected. And the big question, I guess, is why? Mm-hmm. Why might this be? But I also think that there's some more recent trends that may also be influencing why we're more concerned about this. Regardless of whether trends are on the rise or remaining stable, that there's reason to be concerned. I think that there's a lot of concern around the role of technology. Of course, this is a very hotly debated topic, but nonetheless, it's clear that the way in which we are interacting socially has changed with changing types of technology. And I think there's a growing concern around, is this change for the good or for worse? Mm-hmm. There's also, I think, a growing sense of a fraying social fabric. There's growing acrimony and the growing polarization in terms of politics and the way in which people engage civically. And we see a lot of disharmony in society. And there's also a growing sense of a need for success, such that people are working longer hours. Kids have enormous pressure to succeed in school, to be involved in a number of extracurricular activities, such that work and other kinds of efforts that are aimed at increasing success are really pushing out the time that might otherwise be spent with friends and family. Mm. And so I don't think it's just one thing. I think there's many others that I haven't even mentioned. But I think that there is certainly a growing concern.
Which really brings us to what my last question is for you. And that's that some argue that this type of treatment is just a pharmacological buffer against something that is a human woe that we can actually fix by taking on some of those issues that you're talking about. I'd love to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that one of the things we need to be really mindful of is that people can become lonely or disconnected from a variety of different circumstances. For some, it may be a mobility issue. Among older adults, that there's an increasing risk for hearing loss. For others, it may be a role loss. And we need to aim our solutions to address the underlying cause. And if there's a mismatch between what people actually need and what they're receiving, we're unlikely to find a solution. It may be unsuccessful. And so I think we need to recognize that there's not going to be one magic bullet. One magic pill that's going to fix it all. And while there may be a place for a pharmaceutical intervention in cases where some of these other approaches have been unsuccessful, we also need to exercise caution in that there needs to be growing education and training in the medical field in how to deal with the growing, what, or at least what some are referring to as an epidemic of loneliness. Mm-hmm. And if all physicians have in their toolbox is a prescription, that may be the only solution that patients are offered, and that we really need to, in essence, put more tools in that toolbox so that we can use the right tool for the right issue to make sure that we have the best solutions.
Julian Holt Lundstad, professor of psychology and neuroscience at Brigham Young University in Utah. Professor Holt Lundstad, thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And researchers at the University of Chicago's Bryan Dynamics Lab finished their final studies in June. No word on when this loneliness pill will be available to the public.